And time for us once again to get into the Word of God as we do every day at this time. Give you some spiritual nourishment to get your day started right. And joining us this morning from Vision Ministries, Pastor Joy Hester. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Excited to get in the Word. And we've been coming from the book of Judges. Our main foundational scripture that we've been talking about is Judges 2:10. I'm going to read it for you again. And it says, "And all that generation also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work he had done for Israel." Joshua's generation had died, and their children and grandchildren grew up and did not know God or the work he had done for the people of Israel. That is such a scary verse in the Bible, and it shows us and reminds us that we're always only one generation away from extinction. Our faith is always only one generation away from extinction. And so I prayed and asked the Lord, how can we break this curse? How can we reverse the curse? And he gave me these steps that we all need to take. The first step we talked about is that we had to realize that Christian youth are on the endangered list. In the society, the post-Christian nation that we live in, it's so true. Statistics even agree with that, that right now they're saying that the Z generation is only 4% Bible-based believers or less. And it's the first generation that grew up as a post-Christian nation. And we need to be pouring into these young people and showing them that Jesus Christ is still the way, the truth, and the life. And so just like they did back in the 90s when I was in school, they told us about the bald eagle being on the endangered list. Everybody came together, educated themselves, and did what it took to save that bald eagle. We need to do that as a church, to come together and save our young people from extinction. We also, a part of that saving is we need to evangelize. So many young people are afraid to share their faith, and not just young people, so many Christians, they know that we're supposed to evangelize, but we understand the Great Commission is not a suggestion, but a commandment. And yet so many people don't feel empowered, don't know how to evangelize. And so we talked a lot about evangelism and what it looks like in today's society. And it's for the long haul. I mean, sometimes it's taking time to build a relationship with somebody. It's being aware of our surroundings, praying for divine appointments, and not being ashamed of the salvation, for it's the power of God to save souls. And so ask the Lord to give you those divine appointments. And then yesterday we talked about empowerment, and that we need to empower and pour into young people, and we need to empower and pour into people of our faith so that they can be equipped. My three M's, my three methods of empowerment, and that is model. We should always model what it looks like to be a Christian. Preach the gospel. Use words if necessary. And then we need to mentor. Oh, people are hungry for mentors in our society. Even Paul said that there's many teachers, but few fathers. And that means there's many people who can teach and there's many preachers out there. But what about people who are taking the time? That's all of us. We need to take the time to mentor and to pour into others, especially those who are new in their faith or younger in their faith. And then we have to motivate them to go and do the same. And today we're going to end this up by saying, if we want to avoid, we're going to wrap it all up here. If we want to avoid extinction of our faith, then we need to enlist people to join the movement so they too can pour into others, so they too can step out in faith and do what God has called them to do, and so that we could avoid extinction. So this is the key of keeping the faith burning strong in the hearts of others, and this is where a lot of us miss it. And enlisting people into God's army is not just getting them to sign up, that's just part of it, but it's training them and releasing them to do what God has gifted and called and anointed them to do. Now, this is where a lot of Christians sometimes can miss it. There's a story in the Old Testament that I think kind of wraps up why a lot of people, not all, but why some people, I should say, don't really pour into the next generation coming up, and that's King Saul. King Saul was the first king of Israel. He was a powerful man. He stood a head and shoulders taller than everybody, and unfortunately, when God called David, King Saul, you know, did not model how to be a king. As a matter of fact, King Saul and David were pretty close at first. They had a situation where Goliath, the giant, you remember the people of Israel went into the land to take out the giants, but yet they obviously didn't take out all of them, because here we are generations later and there's still this giant named Goliath, big guy and a big mouth just coming at the people of God, and nobody would stand up to fight Goliath. The whole army was in fear, including the king. And so here comes David to bring lunch to his brothers. Wasn't even supposed to necessarily be there. And he's like, who's going to go out and put this guy in his place? And well, anyway, people had got the word back to Saul that David was asking about it. So Saul met David and David said, hey, I'll go out there. And Saul's like, okay, wear my armor. Well, you know, David tried it on and realized that he couldn't go fight Goliath in someone else's armor. That's a key right here for in a listing. When we go and do what God's called us to do, we have to go with the gifts and the anointing that God has given us and not trying to be like somebody else. In our culture and society with social media, it's so easy to have that copycat anointing, trying to be like everybody else and not being comfortable in the gifting and the skin, if you will, that God has given you. And so, you know, David finally convinced Saul, I'm gonna just go out the way I'm supposed to go out with my slingshot and my five smooth stones. And so he did. And we all know that David defeated Goliath. But when that happened, something shifted and changed not too long after that in Saul's heart. And in 1 Samuel 18, 8 through 10 in the NLT, it says this. This made Saul very angry. What is this? He said. They credit David with 10 thousands and me with only thousands. Next, they'll be making him their king. So from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. The very next day, a tormenting spirit from God overwhelmed Saul, and he began to rave in his house like a madman. David was playing the harp as he did each day, but Saul had a spear in his hand. Saul literally tried to kill David because jealousy, that green eye monster, got a hold of him. And friends, if we're not careful, we can get so comfortable in the position that God has given us that we forget to pass down our faith to the next generation coming up because we don't want to lose our place, because we are insecure. And that is something that we have to break. We should always be looking for somebody to take our job. Can you imagine if Moses was jealous of Joshua? Who would have led the people to the promised land? Can you imagine if Paul was jealous of Timothy? How would our faith ever been carried on? Who would have been the next pastor of Ephesus? Friends, we have to be careful. Matter of fact, Paul was so secure in who he was. He said this in 2 Timothy 2:10, talking about enlisting people in God's army. I mean, listen to this. He says, so I'm willing to endure anything if it would bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus for those God has chosen. Matter of fact, Paul made it clear to people that when they sign up for God's army, when they enlist, it's not going to just be a walk through the park. The moment we enlist in God's army, we will have a target on our back, and we need to be aware of that, friends. But we also have to be aware, like Paul told Timothy, to not let anyone look down on us because we are young, but to set an example of our faith and our speech and our life and our love and our purity and how we live our life, friends. That is what Paul taught Timothy. That is what Timothy taught his church. And that's what the Word of God teaches us. We need to enlist. That means not only sign up, but we need to do the work of the ministry. Some of us are vocational pastors or evangelists or whatever, and we may get paid through Yes FM, a ministry, or paid through Vision Ministries, but all of us are called to be ministers, which is servants of the gospel. Rather, you get paid through Jeep, you get paid through ProMedica, you get paid through your business. We are called to minister and pastor the people around us, every single one of us. We need to sign up. It is sad that statistics show only 20% of the church, and I don't mean an individual church, I'm talking about the collective corporate church, only 20% do 80% of the work. No, we need to reverse the curse if we want to make sure that our faith is not going to be extinct, and we need everyone to sign up for God's army. We need everyone to say, I'm going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I'm going to be disciplined and do what God has called me to do. Yeah, I might mess up. A righteous man falls down 7 times, but I'm going to get on back up and I'm going to do what God has called me to do. See, if we can enlist in God's army, if you choose to do this, then you're going to be able to say this. In the army of God, the Lord Jesus is my commanding officer. Come on, that's so good. He's the commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Prayer and the whole armor of God are my weapons of warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, tested by fire, and I have come out on the other side, purified by God, praising his name and enlisting others to join the movement too. Friends, would you enlist today? Let's join the movement. There's so much for us to do in the days that we live in to spread hope, love, joy in our faith and our community. God bless you guys.
Amen. Would you go pray for our listeners?
I would love to. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you are still in control. God, I thank you that you are calling people. Lord, I pray that you would help us not be like Saul and be jealous when we see your anointing on somebody else. God, instead, let us be like Moses and come over and train up the Joshuas. Let us be, Lord God, like Paul's and raise up the Timothys and the Tituses, Lord God. Let us be those who pour into the next generation, enlist them to join the movement. God, we know that we live in a society right now, a culture right now, that just our own city that is just so full of fear, Lord. But God, we know that these are still good days and that you have called us, Lord Jesus, to be a light in a dark place, and you have called us to be your soldiers. And God, I pray that you would give us courage today, that there is a plan and a purpose of God to bring us hope and a future. And God, that we would pour into our children this time that our kids are home from school. Lord, I pray that you would give parents divine strategy on how to pour into our kids, to share our faith, that we would have Bible studies within our home and prayer time within our home. This time, Lord God, that you're shutting down entertainment, you're shutting down sports and all the things that are often a distraction to our faith. God, let it be a time, Lord God, that we truly seek your face and that we truly pray and that we truly understand our weapons of warfare is truly prayer. And God, that we would be there for our neighbors, that we would be there for our families, that we would be there for our church. And God, that we would continue to march forward with your gospel to a land that's so dry and so thirsty and so needs that living water that comes from your word. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. And we trust you and put our faith in you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Joy Hester in with us from Vision Ministries. And tell us about Vision Ministries.
Awesome. Vision Ministries is one church, two locations. We have our original location, who is about 13 years old now, that is in the old south end of Toledo. But we're actually 25 years into ministry, as we were a part of Solid Rock Ministries. And this year we're celebrating 25 years of combined ministry between Solid Rock and Vision Ministries at 1630 Broadway. Super excited for all that God has done in 25 years, the ministers and the missionaries and the business leaders that have come out of the ministry there. And then we recently planted a new church 3 years ago almost at Easter time in Waterville, and God is doing some awesome things there and just super excited. We got an old horse barn now that we're meeting in and having church in, and God is just doing great things there as well. And we know that our future is bright and we are excited about all that God is doing. Hey, check out what we're doing. I can't even begin to tell you all on this little snippet of time I have. So look at our website and see how you can sign up and be a part. Our website is vision.today.
Excellent. Hey, thanks, Joy, for being in with us.
Thank you.